I'm a huge planner, so whenever my wife, Radhi, and I would go on our adventures, I'd meticulously plan out our itineraries and book our accommodations in advance. It's like a yearly tradition that we do. And let me tell you, Booking.com has been my go-to every step of the way. Whether I want to be a simple guy nestled in the countryside or be the stylish and modern guy in the heart of the city, Booking.com never fails to offer a wide range of options that perfectly suit your preferences. And they have everything you need to turn your travel dreams into reality, offering accommodations here in the US. Plus, the ease of booking through the app makes the whole process a breeze. So trust me when I say, when it comes to planning unforgettable getaways, Booking.com is where it's at. Ready to book your next adventure? Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com. Booking.yeah. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually in person and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual. $90,000. That's approximately how much time an individual will dedicate to work in their lifetime. That's why it's more important than ever to partner with UKG, a company fully dedicated to helping you create a great place to work. With HR, pay, time, and culture solutions, UKG is the only partner that delivers the tools and insights your employees need, no matter who they are, where they work, or what they do. See what UKG can do for your business and your people at ukg.com/great. UKG, our purpose is people. We make up, then we break up. We make up, then we break up. We make up, then we break up. You're always thinking about breaking up. You're always thinking about how to break up, but you don't know how. I think a lot of us are scared to break up because of what it means. It means loneliness. It means weekends and evenings alone. It means having that uncomfortable, awkward conversation that we don't want to have.
The number one health and wellness podcast.
Jay Shetty.
Jay Shetty.
The one, the only Jay Shetty.
Hey everyone, welcome back to On Purpose, the place you come to listen, learn, and grow. Thank you to everyone who's subscribed. Thanks to everyone who's left a review. It's incredible to have our community continue to grow. If you haven't already, make sure you've downloaded all the latest episodes because I don't want you to miss out on any of our amazing conversations or solos. We've had some phenomenal guests lately, so many more coming up. Make sure you don't miss out. Now, today's episode is all about the ways to know if it's time to end your relationship. Now, sometimes it's not as clear. Sometimes it's not that bad. Sometimes it's not the end of the world yet. And often we'll find that people in our life, and maybe even you, have had moments where you end a relationship and then you realize it ended 12 months ago. It ended 24 months ago, right? How many times have you left a job, left a relationship, maybe even a friendship? And then when you reflected on it, you realize, wait a minute, that was over such a long time ago and I've just wasted time. This is to help you get that head start. It's to help you save time. This episode is dedicated to anyone who's been going back and forth in their mind thinking, I deserve better. Am I settling? Is this the right person for me? How do I know? Now, I want to start by saying one thing. I think today, because we live in a world of what seems like infinite choice, and what seems like available love, I think we actually make bad decisions, right? The studies have always shown that the more choice we have, the less good our decisions are as humans. We struggle to pick cereal in the cereal aisle. We struggle to pick the right pickle or whatever else it may be because we're exposed to so many choices. And now that the dating world has caught up with the consumer world, that's the same experience we have. We all believe there's plenty more fish in the sea. We believe that there's someone else who tick 9 out of 10 boxes if someone that we currently are with is 7 out of 10. And so a lot of us don't think about building, growing relationships. We think about finding and discovering. And that language in and of itself is such a big challenge, right? When you're thinking, I'm going to find my person. I'm just going to find them. They're going to be ready made. They're going to be as they are. Rather than the truth that we're probably going to have to build with someone or grow with someone. See, the truth is, relationships get harder, not easier. People put in less effort, not more. People get lazier, not smarter. And people change. They rarely stay the same. So knowing that this is the reality of relationships, when we want to be in a long-term, committed, loyal relationship, what we're saying is, I'm willing to build, I'm willing to grow, and I'm willing to learn. That's actually what we're signing up for. And I think the reason why so many of us want to move is because we feel we're not building anymore, we're not growing anymore, we're not learning anymore, we never did. And so today I want to answer that question. Is it really time to leave? Do you have real reason to leave and move on? Or is it really just a part of us that doesn't want to put in the effort? We just want to enjoy the 6 months honeymoon period. We just want to enjoy the good times, but we're not really ready for a long-term, committed, loyal relationship. Now, I was looking at a study and researchers asked people considering whether to end their relationship, what factors someone in their shoes might weigh when making the decision. Respondents came up with a number of reasons which researchers classified into 50 common themes. But here are the top 10 pros and cons people suggested. So these were the top 10 reasons people said that they would stay in a relationship. Number one, emotional intimacy. If you felt emotional intimacy, then that was a good reason to stay. Now let's talk about what emotional intimacy is. Emotional intimacy, I also describe often as emotional availability. When you want to share your feelings, when you want to share your thoughts, is the other person available? Are they able to listen, recognize, understand, and comprehend what you're feeling? Intimacy emotionally is a sense of closeness. You feel like the other person gets you and understands you. Now, of course, not all the time and not when they're under stress and not when there's lots of other stuff going on. But overall, you feel that they get you. They understand you. They're willing to go there with you emotionally. The second reason to stay was emotional investment. Notice how the word emotional has already come up twice out of two in a list of 10. Are you feeling emotionally invested in this relationship? Do you feel like the person cares about how you feel? This is one of the most important questions. Does this person care about how you feel, right? Do they care that you feel good or feel bad? Do they care that you're struggling or you're doing well? And a lot of the times we don't ask this question, do we care? Are we always the one trying to get this person to change and be different? Or do we have the capacity also to emotionally invest in them? The third reason people said to stay was family duty. Now, this one's a tough one because everyone has different values around this. I recently had a great conversation with Dr. Daniel Amen around how to raise children and the scientific reasons as to whether people should stay together or move apart. And what was very, very clear was all about the quality of the relationship. I think one thing we don't recognize is, I often say to people that life is shorter than you think, but longer than you think as well, right? It's shorter in the sense that we need to make the most of our time, but it's longer when you don't make the most of your time and now you're in a bad position for 10, 20, 30 years. So family duty is a double-edged sword. Number four, reasons to say, partner's personality. Do you actually like them? Or are you always trying to mold them? Are you always trying to shift them? Are you always wanting them to be better? What is your partner's personality like? Are you always thinking, oh gosh, I wish they didn't say that in that public setting? Are you always feeling awkward or uncomfortable around them in their behavior towards you and others? Or is that something you always knew and it was quirky and something you liked about them? Number five is enjoyment. Notice how as relationships grow, enjoyment has gone down, right? Having a good time would have been top of the pile back in the day, but now it's halfway through. Now, a lot of people think that's because the spark's gone. A lot of people think that's because it's not fun anymore. The truth is that long-term relationships give us very different things from short-term relationships. Long-term relationships give us that emotional intimacy, that emotional investment, and what number six is, emotional security. That becomes far more meaningful and valuable to us as individuals, as relationships grow. Now, I'm not saying that you can't still have enjoyment or have fun. Of course you can. But what I'm saying is that different things become more important as time goes on. When you're emotionally secure, you feel that the other person won't use your emotional expression against you. That's what emotional security means. You feel that the secrets you've shared, the flaws you've shown, the issues, concerns that you've raised will not be used against you. If you feel that they're going to be used against you, that means you feel emotionally insecure. You don't trust that someone actually values what you're experiencing and going through. Now, I want to draw a line here because I think for a lot of us can feel that, but then our partners may actually say something like, but I don't know where you got that from, right? I'm not sure. I feel like I'm showing you that we're emotionally secure. We have to really differentiate between whether what we're feeling is based on a past insecurity or whether it's based on a present insecurity. Listen to this carefully. Is your emotional insecurity based on past experiences or is it based on this individual? The way to understand this is to ask yourself the question, has this person done things independent of what I've been through in the past that have made me feel emotionally insecure? Or actually, do I have an insecurity that I have been carrying from relationship to relationship to relationship that continues to have a stronghold in my life? Number seven is physical intimacy. Feeling like there still is a space to explore that, to express that. There's an excitement from both sides. Number eight, reason to stay, was financial benefits. This is something that's unspoken about, but marriage and relationships were built on the idea that it would be easier to rent a bigger space together. It would be easier to split the costs of the grocery bill, right? There were financial needs that needed to be met. Number nine is compatibility. And number 10 is concern for partner, right? Do you feel a sense of concern? Now that one again can be a double-edged sword because I know a lot of people that I've spoken to who felt that they were staying in the relationship because it positively benefited their partner, even if it negatively affected them. So you think if I leave this relationship, that person's going to fall apart. But you're falling apart in the relationship trying to keep them together. Think about that for a second. So often you stay in a relationship because you don't want someone else to fall apart, not realizing that you're falling apart while you're trying to keep them together. If you fall apart while you're trying to keep someone else together, then it's a losing battle. And so sometimes your concern for your partner can be false compassion, right? False compassion is this belief that we can solve, fix, figure out someone else's problems, and that if we're in their life, then they'll be okay, even if that means we're not okay. And I know people right now who are going through breakups and divorces, who've tried to do that for 10 years. And the sad and most horrific part of it is that the people who've been negatively affected are them. I've got to say, herbs have been a game changer in my wellness routine, all thanks to my Indian upbringing. My mum was the one who got me started on them way back when. I've seen how they can do wonders for both body and the mind. One of my favorites is ashwagandha, which is an adaptogenic herb that helps reduce stress. I usually take it in the morning with my breakfast, and it helps me stay cool, calm, and collected throughout the day. Our sponsor, Nature's Way, has ashwagandha as well as herbs like St. John's wort and holy basil that provide mood and stress support. They have over 50 years of experience sourcing herbs from all over the world in the continents and climates where they grow best. Nature's Way rigorously tests every batch of herbs for potency and purity in their state-of-the-art lab. To learn more, visit naturesway.com/herbs and use code J10 at checkout for 10% off any herbal supplements. Terms and conditions apply, valid through June 30th. On Purpose with Jay Shetty is brought to you by Booking.com, Booking.yeah. I have found that travel is so important in expanding our perspective and growing in all areas of our lives. Experiencing new places and meeting new people gives us the ability to see that people do things differently and can help us to not be so rigid in our thoughts. It allows for us to take an alternative approach to our everyday routines and the way we feel we need to do things. When I take a new trip across the world, I find that I develop a new love for something along the way, which then shows me more about myself that I may not have necessarily uncovered otherwise. Booking.com offers a variety of different accommodations and places to fulfill your adventure needs, especially when it comes to an adventure-packed vacation. It can be so difficult to pick the right place to venture to, but Booking.com will be able to advise and accommodate all of your wants with ease with their extensive list of options. Whether you're booking a solo vacation to learn more about yourself, to meet new people, or a vacation for the whole family, Booking.com offers a variety of different accommodations to best fit what you're looking for in a trip within the time frame you're looking for. I encourage you to take a trip that allows yourself to be a different version of you. Whether you want to take a trip to swim with ocean life or backpack through the mountains, Booking.com can suggest a variety of different options on where to stay based on where you are traveling, rather than you having to figure it out on your own. Whatever your adventure is, Booking.com can accommodate your needs and will continue to provide options for you for this vacation and for others in the future, so that every vacation you take offers you a different experience, ultimately helping you to evolve and grow through trying new things. Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com, Booking.yeah. Life can be a wild ride, and sometimes our gut gets thrown off track. So that butterfly in your stomach, it's probably not from excitement. It's more likely from stress or certain food choices you had for breakfast. And Ritual can help you get things back on track. They made a 3-in-1 supplement with clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic to support a balanced gut microbiome. Every morning, I start my day with Synbiotic Plus. It's now an essential part of my daily routine. With its blend of prebiotics, postbiotics, and all that good stuff, I'm giving my gut the love it needs to tackle whatever comes its way throughout the day. There's no shame in your gut game. Synbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide, your insides. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/Shetty. Start Ritual or add Synbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/Shetty for 25% off. Now, in the same study, the top 10 reasons to leave. Listen to this. This is what people considering whether to end their relationship. These were the top 10 reasons they gave to leave. I'm hoping that as you're hearing this, you're not on your own. I'm hoping that as you're listening, you're thinking, gosh, that is why I'm staying. And that's a good reason. Or that is why I'm staying. And I'm not sure that maybe not the best reason to stay. Because the truth is, it's a subjective choice. It's not about whether I think it's good for you to leave or move on. It's important for you to weigh up what's valuable to you. Some of you may be able to live a life of complete sacrifice and feel that that's your value, and that's okay. And some of you will think, I don't want to sacrifice any more time on this. I need to move. So reasons to leave, top 10. The first one was partner's personality. If you didn't like your partner's personality, it was time to leave. It was time to move on, because that's a personality that you'll be living with for a long time. Number two, pretty obvious one, breach of trust felt like a good enough reason to leave. I think with this one, what's important is recognizing whether you're willing to live with the consequences of the breach of trust or whether you can't, whether you're willing to forgive and move on and not keep making it an important factor, or whether you're saying to yourself, no, this was make or break for me. Third, a reason to leave was partner withdrawal. This one's a hard one again to gauge, but an important one to note. Sometimes we see our partner's disinterest and apathy as withdrawal. And the truth is, everyone is kind of going in that direction. The more time you spend with someone, it's likely that there is an apathy, there's a neutrality that develops over time. And really what it is comfort. We get comfortable with someone and therefore we get apathetic, we get neutral, we become disinterested, right? What should we have for dinner? Oh, whatever you want. Oh, should we fix the shed or the garage? Oh yeah, whatever you want, right? There's a kind of like, oh, I don't care about that. And because someone doesn't care about something, that doesn't mean they don't care about us. But what we've started to say is that I care about this. I care about redecorating the house. I care about fixing this part of the home, whatever it may be. And if you don't care about it, then you don't care about me. What we've done is we've outsourced how we see caring for us. And the problem with that is someone could very well say to you, no, I do care about you. I just don't care about that. And I think it's really important that we reintegrate ourselves into our definition of care. How does someone behave with us? How does someone care about us as opposed to the things that we care about as a priority of how they show care for us? Is there another way they can show care? Is there another way they do show care? Number four was an external reason. Number five was physical distance, reasons to leave. Number six was conflict. I think if you're fighting again and again and again, if it's always back and forth, that's a reason to leave. I think a lot of people also go through this period of we make up, then we break up. We make up, then we break up. We make up, then we break up. You're always thinking about breaking up. You're always thinking about how to break up, but you don't know how. That's a good reason to leave. I think a lot of us are scared to break up because of what it means. It means loneliness. It means weekends and evenings alone. It means having that uncomfortable, awkward conversation that we don't want to have. Right? All of these conflicts and the conflict we're feeling in our mind can be a good reason to leave. Number eight was emotional distance. Number nine was lack of validation. This one's a big one. I think a lot of people, the more and more people I meet, I've realized most people don't get validated at work or at home. And all of us want validation, but we're scared to ask for it. It's a really interesting paradox, right? We all want to get validated. We're a bit nervous to ask for it because it makes us look weak, and no one ever gets validated. So what I want you to do with the validation point is I want you to take an opportunity to validate your partner, to validate that person for something genuine. I think sometimes we also validate on like superficial flattery and that never lands with that person. We validate on something really arbitrary and random and it just doesn't land with that person. I want you to validate them for something really meaningful, something that was important to them. And I want you to see if you can start building that validation culture inside your relationship. I think it's really important to build a validation culture and system in your relationship, but you often have to lead it. And it has to be around something genuine and sincere. And number 10 reason to leave was lack of financial benefits. Now, I want to break down for you a couple of ways to know whether it's time to leave or whether there's still room to work on something. I remember learning during my time as a monk about the three cancers of the mind. And we were taught that they were complaining, comparing, and criticizing. And I found that these three are very true in a relationship. We feel like leaving a relationship when there's a lot of complaining, comparing, and criticizing. Complaining is like, you never do this. You always do that. You're never around. You're always late. And often we complain to people who are not even our partners, right? You've got friends over for dinner and they say, oh yeah, what time does Jeff usually get home? Oh, we don't talk about that in this house. We don't talk about that in this house, right? It's complaining. It's almost passive aggressive. And what that does is it chips away. Complaining chips away. Venting to each other is fine. And the question I want to ask you is, can you grow from complaining to communicating? So instead of using passive aggressive statements to tell your partner how you feel, could you take a moment and say, I feel that when you come home late, it makes me feel this way. But I wanted to understand why you choose to come home late. Or what's your reasoning for coming home late? What's your reasoning for working hard? Recognizing that maybe that's their identity. Maybe that's conditioning they have. Often when we feel we're healed, we think we can see other people's conditioning, but we can't see the way we feel is our conditioning. So I often ask couples, can you move from complaining to communicating? If we continue to complain, we just keep pushing each other further and further away, right? When you see the dishes aren't done, you don't say to them, hey, can you get the dishes done today? Because you've said that too many times. It now becomes, you wait a week and then you go, well, the dishes are always left there. It's complaining. How do we communicate? How do we set systems? Because sometimes we've over-communicated, but we haven't created systems of how things run in the household. We haven't created commitments to overcome complaining. Another big one for when it's time to move on is comparing. I think a lot of people live through this, but it's really hard to stomach. Oh, did you know so-and-so drops his kids to school every morning? Oh, did you know? Oh, have you seen what she's been doing building her business? Oh my gosh. Oh my God. Have you seen what he's done? Oh, look at him. He was on the front cover of that magazine or whatever it is, right? Oh, did you see what she's been up to? Oh my gosh. Like, yeah, she just got a promotion. Comparing is so painful and creates so much emotional distance. Because here's what you've done with comparing. When you compare your partner to someone else, you've not only made them emotionally distant from you, you've made them feel emotionally distant from the person you compared them with. They now start to dislike that person. So you've now created an emotional distance from them there. And of course, when you're comparing them, they're now feeling distant from you. And the question is, can you collaborate? Is there still room to collaborate? Can you say to your partner, hey, you know what? I know that this is your goal. Can I help you with it? Hey, you know, this is something I'm struggling with. Can you help me with it? Hey, can we collaborate? Because when we're comparing, what we're saying is someone else is collaborating better. Can we use language that motivates, inspires, and encourages our partners rather than degrades, makes them feel downtrodden, makes them feel disrespected? So much of our language with our partners is demanding, degrading, and disrespectful. How is someone going to change if you're being demanding, disrespectful, or degrading? I don't understand which human psychology that works in. So instead of comparing is the lowest form of disrespect. It makes someone else feel small, makes someone else you know feel big, which makes them feel you like that person. Whether you like them sexually or intimately, it makes them feel like you find someone else attractive. Comparing, if it's ongoing, repetitive, and especially if it gets very disrespectful, is a reason for people to leave. Now, criticizing is something that has many different levels. There's banter, and then there's real criticism. And there's criticism that you believe. And I would encourage you all to ask, is there room to celebrate your partner? Is there something worth celebrating in them? Now, I'm not saying any of this is to make you overcome or ignore toxic behavior by a partner. If you're experiencing a toxic behavior pattern, if you're experiencing a repetitive pattern, this isn't about you thinking you can solve it or making better. It's asking you the question, is there room for celebration? Or has the criticism gone too far? It's time to leave when you don't respect their values and they don't respect yours. What that means is, if you want them to change, if you're thinking, if they change, I can stay with them. If you're thinking, if they don't change, then I can't be with them, then it's time to leave. Because chances are they are that person. Now, of course they change. People grow and change all the time. But if you're asking for a big change, like they're not ambitious, you want them to be driven. They're super organized and career driven and you want them to be laid back. Often we want our partners to be the exact opposites of who they are. If you want your partner to be the exact opposite of who they are, ask yourself, could you be the exact opposite of who you are? Could you change 180? Your behaviors, your patterns, your actions, your values, your goals, could you change them? If you're career driven, could you completely let go of them? If you're laid back, could you get really focused and driven? We want to be with people that respect our values, and we need to be people who respect their values. Now, I want to give you one last tool that I think will be really helpful. Often in our relationships, what we do is we like to keep score. I cleaned the dishes last three nights in a row. I took the trash out every time for the last month. I dropped the kids to school every single day. Right? We keep this score. And the interesting thing is, our score is based on our scorecard. So if your scorecard is money, i.e. I pay all the bills, then that's the scorecard you use. Now, if your partner's scorecard is family, which I consider to be more emotional, then they're measuring it on that scorecard. And if you've really got to a point, I don't like keeping score, but sometimes this activity has been really helpful for people I've tested it with. Expand your scorecard. The scorecard is now not only financial, it's physical, mental, financial, emotional, spiritual. Ask yourself in your relationship, who is leading the way in different parts of the relationship? Physically, who takes care of the home? Physically, who takes care of the groceries? Physically, who takes care of the kids and the family? Physically, who is doing that physical work? Give them 1 point. Now, mental. Who is mentally supporting the relationship? Who helps you push through tough times? Who stays in a positive attitude? Who's the person who stays resilient? Now, financial. Who's taking care of the bills? Now, emotional. Who's always emotionally available? Who's always there? Who always picks up the phone? Who always checks in? And spiritual, who's guiding you spiritually? Who's helping you with your faith? Who's helping you with the practices and habits that make you feel better? Now, if you're looking at all five of these scorecards and you're doing 4 out of the 5, fair enough. Chances are you'll find most relationships are more equally divided. And maybe there's a 3/2, but what we don't recognize is it's hard to weigh these equally. But I can honestly say that my wife emotionally manages the relationship. She's always helping us be in the right mood. She's always creating fun energy. She's always creating this beautiful space for us to live in. Physically, she creates an amazing space. It's so easy to forget these things because we're looking down a very limited lens. I really hope that this episode helps you first not feel alone, second reflect on what you can do to not have to end this relationship, and thirdly, if you do decide to end it, gives you good reasoning, makes you feel certain and confident in your decision. Thank you so much for listening to On Purpose. Make sure you go listen to another episode with a guest or a solo right now. Make sure you've subscribed. Make sure you've downloaded all the latest episodes. And remember this, I'm forever in your corner and I'm always rooting for you. Thank you for listening. If you love this episode, you're going to love my conversation with Matthew Hussey on how to get over your ex and find true love in your relationships.
People should be compassionate to themselves, but extend that compassion to your future self, because truly extending your compassion to your future self is doing something that gives him or her a shot at a happy and a peaceful life.
I'm a huge planner, So whenever my wife, Radhi, and I would go on our adventures, I'd meticulously plan out our itineraries and book our accommodations in advance. It's like a yearly tradition that we do. And let me tell you, Booking.com has been my go-to every step of the way. Whether I want to be a simple guy nestled in the countryside or be the stylish and modern guy in the heart of the city, Booking.com never fails to offer a wide range of options that perfectly suit your preferences. And they have everything you need to turn your travel dreams into reality, offering accommodations here in the US. Plus, the ease of booking through the app makes the whole process a breeze. So trust me when I say, when it comes to planning unforgettable getaways, Booking.com is where it's at. Ready to book your next adventure? Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com. Booking.yeah. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually in person and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth: no matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.